Tonight's Sunday Night Big Brother Recap is sponsored in part by eHarmony. Now, if you're looking for a lasting relationship, you could go into the Big Brother house and try to find somebody like Clay and Shelley did, or you can get on eHarmony.com because eHarmony is the number one trusted dating site. They deliver over 10 million matches daily with a patented compatibility matching system, which was developed based on 30 years of clinical research of what makes happy couples tick. And they're responsible for 600,000 happy marriages to date. And you don't even have to worry about an identical twin screwing things up for you, like if you were Austin with Liz. eHarmony is available across all devices, and they've got a way for you to experience eHarmony for 50% off the standard price for a 6-month membership with the promo code AUGUSTLOVE. So if you're looking for that special someone, give eHarmony a chance for 6 months at 50% off with the code AUGUSTLOVE at eHarmony.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who can handle anything because I've podcast on Black Friday, Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Sunday Night Big Brother Recap, August 9th, 2015, talking about the week that Becky was the HOH and put two people up on the block in Steve and Shelley. Big week for Beckers, and here with me to talk about it all is our Sunday Night Live correspondent, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
You know, I'm good, but just no deals, Rob. I'm so done with deals. I'm not even going to have it.
No deals? No nothing? No deals.
Not on this podcast. I'm so done with it. Everyone's offering me deals. No more deals. No more deals.
I was going to trade you $10,000 for an autograph, but now that's off the table.
But that would pay my medical bill.
Yeah, no deals for Becky on the week. She's the HOH. So interesting take, and looking forward to breaking this all down. Becky's HOH week, and it looks like Vanessa could be in some hot water here tonight on the Big Brother Sunday Night Recap. So, of course, we're live. We're going to be taking your questions here during the show on the robswebsite.com, plus also on Twitter, hashtag RHAP. Getting pumped up. Tomorrow is going to be a big voicemail show. We're going to speak with Derek Levasseur. He is the winner of Big Brother 16, and he is going to be talking with me tomorrow. So get your voicemails in, robswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Very excited to talk with Derek tomorrow. And then I just got word earlier today, we are officially going to be doing our Eric Stein podcast this Wednesday. So we're going to talk to Eric on Wednesday night. So a very exciting week coming up on the Big Brother podcast. So let's get into talking about Becky here in her big spotlight of being the HOH. And Taryn, I was just saying, boy, if Becky turns out to be a good character, they really hit the ball out of the park in terms of casting this season.
Yeah, I mean, and I told you from the beginning, I said, I think Becky can be a late bloomer. She's going to lay low for a while. She said this was her plan, that she wants to start winning competitions in the second half and start making moves. And it's what she's doing.
But do you feel like this was intentional?
I think it was intentional on Becky's part. I think she has definitely intentionally been laying low. I think it just happened to be her competition. And she happened to, you know, have just kind of caught on to Vanessa. So it all kind of timed up right for her in her mind, I think.
But she's won HOH before. She was the HOH with Shelley back. Was it week 4 or week 2? Was it the first time Shelley won?
Yeah, it was week 2.
Okay. And then we've seen Becky crying at different times that she didn't win HOH. So I have a hard time believing that Becky was saying, oh, it was all my strategy to not be HOH and have power during this time, when we saw her crying about not winning the competitions.
I think she wanted power, but when she had power, when she had that week 2 HOH, she was like so set on making sure everybody told her what to do. She didn't want any you know, power in the decision making. She wanted it to be like the, you know, Andy getting Jesse out of the house. Like, I have no part in this. It's just what the house wants.
Kind of. Okay. All right. So here's Becky, and we will talk through everything from Becky's perspective. Now, we got to see the fight that happened before the eviction this Thursday, and I'd love to just talk this through now that we've all seen it. It ends up coming up via flashback style. It's always like when they do these Big Brother endurance competitions, I like when they do like a Lost style flashback going back to things that happened before the episode. And so if we go back to Johnny Mac versus Vanessa, how bad did things spiral out of control with Vanessa?
Oh, it was easily the worst one yet. And I think they did a pretty good job of portraying it on the show, because it was pretty hard to follow on the feeds, because Clay had thought that James told Johnny Mac that he can't trust Vanessa, but in reality, that was Johnny Mac's thought. So it was difficult to follow. But man, Vanessa just really messed that one up. You know, Clay was looking out for her, trying to let her know, you know, hey, Johnny Mac doesn't really trust you. You should go make sure everything's okay. But you know, she's done this before too. She did it during the week that week where Shelly had occasionally come up to her and said, hey, listen, Becky and Johnny Mac, they're kind of talking, or she didn't name them, but she said, people are saying they don't trust you. And instead of kind of investigating, Vanessa's approach to that was, what? People don't trust me? Why would you not even trust me? You trust me, right? Like, we're good. Like, I can't even believe that you would doubt me. You know, and it just doesn't work. She needs to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, it really was shades of week one Audrey of let's go together, let's have a house meeting, let's call everybody out. And she wanted to go right to the source. Was Vanessa feeling especially threatened at that point? What was the reason that Vanessa went to those levels that quickly?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I know that she has complained about medication, and when she's not on it, she kind of goes through withdrawal. That may have been what was happening. I don't want to, you know, speculate too far in that direction, but, you know, I think she felt very comfortable. And when she heard that James or Johnny Mac were talking about targeting her, she honestly couldn't believe it. And she really felt like Clay was trying to, you know, screw her over, in some way.
Were you surprised that the Clay and James thing ended up looking like it was going to come to blows that quickly?
You know, it was kind of surprising, but they were both pretty heated up, and Clay was, you know, about to leave. So, you know, I didn't really expect James to get into that kind of thing, but you know, it doesn't surprise me too much.
Why did Johnny Mac feel the need to say what he said to Clay if Clay is going out the door?
Johnny Mac really, really trusted Clay. He really trusted both of them, really, but especially Clay. He's had an attachment to Clay for a while.
What kind of attachment? Like the attachment that either two brothers or gay lovers would have?
Exactly. That's why Vanessa was so confused.
With that crackpot theory?
But I mean, like the whole week last week, he was going around talking to Clay about the alliance that they were in, and that, what if somebody exposes the alliance that we're in? And it was like, wait, what alliance? Oh, you mean the alliance that they formed on week two with Jeff and Jackie?
Yeah.
And Shelly and Clay and Johnny Mac, like that, you know, Shelly and Clay have like barely thought about for 2 seconds after it was made. He apparently thought that was still a thing, and really, really was with Clay.
So the way that Johnny Mac ultimately handled that, did you think that he did a good job of saving face in all this, or did you feel like that he sort of choked under pressure?
I feel like he choked under pressure. He came out all right ultimately, because when he told Vanessa that it was his idea, she didn't believe him. Like really adamantly just could not fathom that she had been caught by somebody like Johnny Mac.
Yeah.
So it turned out all right, but admitting it to her when she definitely has a lot of allies and it's before the HOH competition, so she may be winning HOH, or one of her allies may be winning HOH. Oh man, that's not a good spot to be in.
It was just like one of those things like, who are you protecting? Like, I just thought of myself. Nobody told me anything in the house.
Especially because he absolutely could have laid it on Clay's feet, and Clay would have been like, and Clay tried to be like, yeah, I take all the heat for it. But instead he was like, I'm going to protect Clay even though Clay's going out the door.
Yeah. So that was really a wild confrontation that ends up happening there. How much did that set the stage for ultimately Becky wanting to target Vanessa?
You know, I really think that Becky would have gone after Vanessa anyway. It gave her a good excuse, though. And
a reason.
Exactly. It gave her a reason. It got Johnny Mac especially behind it, and it got, you know, people like Steve and Shelley to be like, well, I mean, we want to protect Vanessa, but she just did that. So,
So whenever we do these live shows, I always try to keep at least one eye on the chat room and see what you guys are saying as we go through here. And on Wednesday night, or it might have been Thursday night, that I was talking about, was it a mistake for Vanessa to ultimately target Jason back when they could have put Austin up on the block? I saw that you had said in the chat room that you felt like it wasn't a mistake for Vanessa. You felt like Vanessa made the right move. So here we sit 2 weeks later, Vanessa looking like she could be backdoored, and it has really been the thing that has really sprung this whole other side of the house and galvanized them to work together. I would just love to hear from you, because who knows what the real answer is, whether which side of this people will fall on. I'd love to hear your viewpoint on why you feel like Vanessa made the right move 2 weeks ago when she pulled the trigger on Jason.
All right, so when I say it's the right move, it was not the optimal move. She definitely could have done it in a much better way. She could have targeted Jackie, which I think would have gone over a little bit better. But ultimately, she can't take out Austin in that spot. If Battle of the Block doesn't end suddenly the way that it did, she was in a really good position to take control of the game. And, you know, you can't play expecting Battle of the Block to end when last time it went on forever. And also, you know, Jason and Meg had just been talking the night before about how, you know, they did feel good with this 8-person alliance, but Vanessa was the one they wanted to go first. If Vanessa had stuck with that 8-person alliance, she was at the very bottom of it. And letting Austin and the twins go, you know, gives up her ammunition.
But for Vanessa, it really is a point in the game where she made big moves somewhat early, around the 1/3 mark in the game. If not that, what do you feel like was her fatal mistake? If this week does prove to be her last week in the Big Brother house, if this plan goes through, what do you feel like was her biggest mistake?
I think in general, her social abilities aren't great. She doesn't get along with most of the people in the house. She doesn't relate with a lot of people in the house. She's gotten this far on, you know, game theory and smarts alone. And not being able to really bond with people in the house has really been a big detriment to her. Ultimately, though, I think if you're talking about moves she made in the game, staying HOH when she was up there with Austin, having Johnny Mac throw that competition so she could stay HOH and get the blood on her hands to take out Jeff or James instead of Austin, was the thing that put her in the position where she had to win HOH the second time, because Jackie was going to come after her because she took out Jeff. And having to win HOH the second time put her in a position where she had to make a move to not target Austin and target the other side, which put her at the forefront of all of it.
So
I think that's where she went wrong.
Staying HOH the first time around for her, you feel like was the biggest mistake she made in the game.
Let Austin take that HOH. Let him put the blood in his hands. Let him become the person in front. And then you don't have to win HOH the second time to ensure your safety, and you can lay low a lot better.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we would all say that she's probably one of the smartest strategic players in the house, but ultimately the results are just not working in her favor. I don't know exactly whether we could say that she's gotten unlucky, whether it's just a bad beat situation, or somebody like Vanessa is just not suited well for the Big Brother game. I think it's more the latter. I think that there's only so much you can do every single week. And I think to exert the amount of control that she's had over the house, I just don't think it's sustainable over such a long season.
Yeah. You know, I think she would have been running the game if Battle in the Block had stayed. I think she probably would have tripped up somewhere though. I think she just, you know, maybe with a different cast, you know, maybe with the cast that she can relate to more, she would have been better socially. But the people in the house, they just don't like her very much. And so, you know, she was never going to get...
What is it they don't like about her?
you know, apart from her emotional outbursts, she just can't relate to them very much. You know, she's a multimillionaire. She is like very well educated. She's probably smarter than all of them in there, except for maybe Steve or Johnny Mac. You know, they don't relate to her and she doesn't relate to them. And the only way she's been able to bond with people is by doing it in a strategic way, like, I'm saving you right now, or I'm going to tell you what to do to you know, better your game. Apart from that, she's not friends with people in there, really.
Potentially, should she have kept Audrey around? Would Audrey have been somebody that she could have been on a more game level? Somebody to just talk strategy all the time?
You know, that's interesting. I think if she had been able to win Audrey over, that would have been great for her. Unfortunately, Audrey was dead set on trying to work with Shelley instead of Vanessa. And she was trying to out Vanessa's game and trying to get her out. So, I mean, still probably she probably should have left. I mean, if Audrey had stayed in the game, it probably would have been better for her.
Did Vanessa spend too much political capital this past week trying to protect Shelley over Clay?
Yes, she needed to do it, but she didn't need to spend as much capital as she did. When she was up there in the room with the eight people talking about the plans for double eviction, and she was the only one who stood up and said, I want to keep Shelley, I thought that was okay with everyone. She really let it stew in their minds like for a whole day where it was Vanessa's trying to flip this vote. And then when the vote eventually did flip, even though it was going to happen anyway, they were like, oh, Vanessa was the cause of this, obviously, because she was the only one that wanted it to happen.
Early on in the season, it seemed like Austin was going to be Vanessa's ride or die. And that was her right-hand guy that she was going to go further on into the game. Two things sort of happened, or one thing maybe caused the other, where Austin started to really develop this infatuation with Liz. And then ultimately, that causes him to start acting irrationally, and Vanessa ends up switching from the Sixth Sense to make her ultimate pair that she's working with. Instead of Austin and potentially the twins, she wants to work more with Clelly. If she had stuck with Austin and the twins as the people that were in her inner circle, would that have ultimately been a better move for her?
I don't think it would have made much of a difference, to be honest. She was keeping both of them close, not telling everything to either side, like letting little tidbits out. Like she told Austin, Shelley's starting to not trust you. You need to be better with her. She was telling Shelley, like, oh yeah, you're right to not trust Austin. He's kind of shady. I don't know if going either way in a direction would have helped her in any real sense.
All right, let's shift back to Becky and let's talk about what she ultimately is going through. She wants to end up with her nominees. She would like to backdoor Vanessa. She ends up starting with Shelley and Steve up on the block. Do you think that potentially getting out Vanessa is the best game move for Becky?
I do. I definitely do think that. Vanessa is the glue that holds this Sixth Sense Alliance together. Getting her out leaves a lot of open pieces on the board that Becky can pick up.
In a house without Vanessa, what would the alliances look like? Because I can't imagine that Austin, Clay, and the twins are going to stick together without Vanessa, right? Isn't it just going to be a mad scramble?
You mean Austin, Shelley, and the twins?
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Once Vanessa leaves, it's going to be a free for all. You know, she's been the person kind of holding everyone down because as long as she was in the house, she was the front runner and she was holding everything together. And once she goes, it's a whole new game. I think what it will probably look like is, James, Megan, Jackie, will be a trio. Austin, the twins will be a trio. Becky, Johnny Mac, and Shelley will be a trio. And Steve will be, kind of circling in the middle, waiting to, figure out which side he wants to go to, depending on who has power.
Do you like the two nominees that Becky starts off with this week?
I don't. I think that she should have just thrown Vanessa up to begin with. I don't get the point of trying to backdoor her, especially if you're going to say to her, I don't want to make any deals with you, and basically tell her that she's the replacement. It gave her a lot more chance to save herself by winning the veto, having Austin or the twins win the veto. You know, it's a lot more outs for her to possibly save herself.
Yeah, the whole thing about I'm done with deals, I don't want to hear anything else about deals, that did seem like that is just code for you're going up on the block, right?
Exactly. You know,
but why not make a deal with Vanessa? Oh, sure, let's make a deal. Final two. Let's make it right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you just tell her what she wants to hear. Don't get her worked up. You know, it's like, there's no point. There's no, I mean, it made good TV, I'm sure. And I'm sure it made her feel very good to do it. But not the best move.
It was interesting, I thought, Becky's, how she was describing this conversation with Vanessa. She said that she can't stand all the deal making. She's organic. She doesn't want any sort of this artificial nonsense about filling in things with deals and false promises and stuff like that. Talk to me about that, because I think that's such an interesting way to look at the game. I don't think it's the way that I would look at the game, but if you're somebody like Becky, what do you think of that stance on the game, and do you think there is any validity to it?
I mean,
the
there's
organic
validity.
Grass-fed approach to the game of here I'm only going to deal with the people that I can be straight with, and I'm not making any sort of deals with the other side of the house.
There's validity to it if you want to play a game where you have to win a competition every week. It's not a game that you play in the Big Brother house. But to be fair to Becky, that's not the game Becky's playing either. You know, she was telling Vanessa that, but maybe she believes it in her head because she's convinced herself of it, but she's definitely not playing that game. So
do you see her playing the same game that Vanessa is?
Oh, yeah. What basically happened was Becky started playing both sides, and that's how she realized that Vanessa was playing both sides, because she was there to see that both sides trusted Vanessa, and she was like, whoa, that's very threatening to me because I want to be doing this. So now that she's trying to take out Vanessa, she's pretty much been doing a lot of work to take her place, essentially.
So,
and we can get into that more when we talk about feeds.
Sure. And then, so if Becky is playing both sides through the halfway point, did you feel like Becky stopped playing both sides too early?
I don't think I think she chose James, Meg, and Jackie in the sense that she's not going to go after them, which she previously was planning on doing. But in the sense of like sticking with them, I don't think she plans on sticking with them, because I think she's most loyal to Johnny Mack. And Johnny Mack is not a part of that necessarily. She may try to stick with them long term, but it's not the best move for her too. So I don't know why she would.
I thought it was very interesting during the episode. So she tells Meg and James and Jackie about her plan. And she says, okay, that's it. This is what we're doing. We're going to backdoor Vanessa. And I don't want to hear the V word the rest of the week. I don't want this getting back to the other side of the house. Cut to her telling Shelley, and she does tell us in confession about how it's hypocritical what she's doing, but she wants to tell Shelley because she wants Shelley to feel safe with her and have a sign of trust. Do you think that this was a good idea to get Shelley invested in the plan, or should Shelley be on a need-to-know basis?
It's a good idea as long as she doesn't get caught. She needs to keep Shelley as sort of someone in her back pocket. It was kind of the mistake that Shelley and Vanessa made with Audrey, where Audrey was obviously more of a loose cannon, but they never told Audrey anything. And because of that, Audrey was like, well, they clearly don't trust me with anything, so why would I be loyal to them? She needs to keep Shelley on as tight of a leash as she can. It's probably not going to work unless she has power anyway, but she needs to make the attempt for sure.
So that's a good thing, obviously, to make Shelley feel like she is safe. Was it too much information to tell her that Vanessa is the target?
Yeah, she probably, you know, it probably could have been a conversation where she was like, I have a bigger target in mind. You probably don't want to know the name. I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable situation. You know, she could have been more vague about it and could have been a little bit better. What she's really done is she hasn't been particularly subtle about what she's doing with Shelley. She's talking to Meg, James, and Jackie saying, we'll talk to Shelley eventually. but I'll just do it by myself. I don't want you guys to be involved. And they're like, why not? Oh, we don't want to like team up on her. I'll make sure that we're safe, that we're all keeping her safe and that she's not going to come after all of us. But I'm going to do that alone.
So are people getting suspicious of Becky because of things like that?
You know, Jackie came close. She was like, why couldn't we be involved? But so far, they're taking what she's selling. So
we saw a bit of Steve tonight, and really a bit of Steve is a lot of Steve in terms of Big Brother 17, because we don't see him very often. We saw a couple of segments. We saw him with Johnny Mac, and we find out that Steve's closest allies in the house are both Johnny Mac and Vanessa, and those two players being at odds ends up creating some problems for Steve. But I thought that they had a very odd conversation of Steve wanting Johnny Mac to promise him that when him and Becky are both in jury, that he's going to go after that.
Yeah, they've talked a little bit about how Johnny Mac has a little bit of a crush on Becky. Unfortunately, from what I've seen, Becky does not reciprocate that crush.
No!
Yeah, poor Johnny Mac. But yeah, that Steve was actually saying that if they both were in jury, that if Johnny Mac goes after Becky, Steve will go after Julia, who he believes he may have shot.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Steve and Julia. Stulia.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great name for them.
Yeah. Steve had a whole package during the episode tonight about how nobody talks to him in the house and he just has to make his own fun. The only thing I could think of during that whole thing is like, is Steve the Kevin McAllister of Big Brother, where his parents have just left him home alone and he's just like putting on aftershave? Ah,
he realizes the situation he's in. He's like, what have I done coming here? I can't make any like solid connections. I can't do any of the moves I'm trying to do. Like, what am I even doing here? And he's just, you know, I love, you know, he's a great guy.
You're a fan.
I am. You know, I could see myself hanging out with Steve.
Wow.
Yeah.
But does Steve want to hang out with any of the people?
Yeah, he tries.
Is Steve in seclusion? Is it like something that a self-imposed seclusion, or people just don't want him around?
People don't want him around. He tries. He walks in. He just doesn't know how to do it right. You know, he walks into a conversation, kind of sits down. He's like trying to get involved, but they clearly don't want him there. So he kind of like leaves. So then he sits alone, and then people see him sitting alone, and they're like, "What are you doing alone, weirdo?" So he's like,
"Did they really say that to him?"
Oh, absolutely. They're like, it was a couple of weeks ago. They saw him sitting in the hammock room alone. They're like, "Why are you sitting in there alone? You're so creepy." He's like, "What do you want from
me?" Poor Steve. It would be interesting, though, if Steve's closest ally in the game is Vanessa, and Vanessa could potentially be out of the house, where would that leave Steve? Do you think that that would turn him into more of a free agent, or do you think that would turn him into more of a sitting duck?
It really depends on how this week plays out and how everything falls after the double eviction. I don't think he'll leave in the double eviction. So, you know, he has been making some strides with other people in the house. People are starting to see that he's kind of alone and that he may be an asset to pick up, you know, toward the later end of the game. So I think he's in a position where he can jump to whoever has power and kind of ride them for a while.
Trying to see if there's anything else from the episode that I had to ask you before we jump into questions. Any other big picture thoughts from the episode tonight?
The episode? I don't think so.
Okay, let's take some questions and we'll talk about everything from the live feeds. Why don't we start off here? Well, with Johnny Hartzman, the great Johnny Hartzman wants to know, if Vanessa goes, won't the season just fall apart? I don't see how we could lose the dominant strategist of the season, with the exception of Derek, who was so good that he ruined the season, without losing the good TV factor. Are you concerned that if Vanessa does go home this week, that it would lead to a more boring season?
If you watch for strategy and you want to see somebody playing very strategically and playing very well, then losing Vanessa might be a bad thing. You know, we're probably going to go into a second half of the game where it's going to be a lot about competitions, and whichever side wins the most competitions is probably going to get to the end, and then the most likable person is probably going to win. But if you watch for good TV, I think it's going to be good TV. I think it's going to be a lot of sides clashing against each other. Power's going to be shifting back and forth. There's going to be no clear outcome, and any one of these people could win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wild second half of the season, even without Vanessa. And the other part of the equation is that Vanessa could go out potentially this week, and she could be back in 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And a zombie Vanessa could return to the house.
With 3 weeks to like chill out and realize that what she did wrong, she could come back and be the first person to come back and win the game.
Or she could be just like pacing around the jury house for 3 weeks and then come back and then be like a lunatic.
Either way, I think it's going to be good TV.
Yeah. So either way, that could be very interesting. I want to talk about this more when we get to the live feeds about how people are reacting to the news. So just don't let me forget before we sign off tonight to talk about that. Let's take another question, and this is from Nick2S. Where did Becky go for the never not? Why did Becky go for the never not before the 5K?
It didn't matter. She was so far ahead that she could have like laid down for a few minutes and then took take.
That
would have
been showboating, I think. Made snow angels in the ice.
She actually did say, hey, should I wait and let somebody else take the never have not, and then I'll take the HOH? And they were like, no, just take it.
Yeah. There you go.
She had plenty of time.
A lot of time. Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Taylor Martina. Is Becky playing the perfect Rob Cesternino game of Big Brother? Sleep for the first half of the game, wake up and be a force in the house. Do you think that Becky we know is probably a big fan of RHAP, right?
A huge fan.
That's Rob, RHAP, that's Rotto has a podcast. It's the number one podcast in Rotto. I believe that is the show that she listens to, right?
Yeah, she's the next Jordan Parhar.
Yeah. So do you think that Becky intentionally played the go to sleep game, wake up, and she's ready to go?
Okay, I think she intentionally played that game, but I don't think she's a strategic mastermind who is going to do really well now that she's turned on. I think she did well enough to get through the first half of the game, and now she's just like everyone else.
Do you feel like Becky could be a target after this week?
I do. There's a lot that could go down, you know, the rest of the week. Depending on how that lands, she could easily be going out in the double eviction.
Okay, interesting. Let's go to BB Janie, who says, I almost like Shelly in this episode. Should I call for help? Is she actually not that bad? Taryn, have Shelly minus Clay. Should we be rooting for her?
You know, I mean, this is what happens, right? She was on top of the game. We hated her. She had a huge blow. Now she's, you know, really down. She's the underdog. Now we're probably going to start to like her now. You know, that's how it works. And it's kind of how people are starting to see her in the house. It's kind of like when you play Risk and, you know, you've taken somebody who used to have, you know, tons of countries and troops, and you get them down to like just a couple of troops. And you're like, I don't want to waste my time and effort and soldiers to finish them off. I'll just let them sit there. Somebody else will finish them off. And then sooner or later, they're already back to their full power. I think Shelly is a very dangerous player to leave in this house. She's very social. I already see her getting along with everybody else. And, you know, don't sleep on her.
Yeah. That's a good plug for Eric Stein being on the podcast on Wednesday, because he was the person in Reality Game Masters who lost all his army, but people didn't forget about him. They just killed him off. He did not get to come back. Just like on Big Brother, he did not just get to come back at all. So did you feel bad for Shelly when she was getting some counseling from the twins who were like, yeah, I bet some girls are going to be calling him, being like, hey.
Yeah, that was probably not the best way to comfort her.
Probably some girls are going to be already calling him. Hey. Yeah. Well, look, that's... Nobody knows a romantic story like the twins.
And, oh, yeah.
Okay, let's take a question. This one is from a music fan, 07058. Can house guests give prizes that they've won to other house guests?
I don't think it's, you know, something that they're particularly excited about anybody doing. I don't think they could do it in the confines of the game unless particularly stated otherwise. Maybe like a Yao Man, like I'll give the truck kind of situation they'd honor, but...
Well, hypothetically, let's just say we're in the house. I win the Germany trip in the veto auction, right? Or the Yankee swap veto, okay? And then after it's your HOH, and I say, look, if you keep me off the block this week, I'll give you my trip. Can they enforce that? And they're like, Rob, you are not allowed to trade your prizes.
Well, this is kind of happening where in the veto last week, when Becky won the $5,000, they all agreed that whoever got it, they'd share it with the rest of Meg, James, and Jackie because they were all playing to make sure that Shelley didn't win the veto. And Becky talked about it saying, I don't think we're allowed to do this, but we'll just do it, you know, afterward or something. They didn't call her out on it as far as I saw, so... but I do know that they have in the past, I think it was with gold bars or something, given them tokens in the game that they've said explicitly, you can trade these however you want. So it's probably not something that they want you to do, but I don't think they're going to go out of their way to enforce it.
Okay, not for that sort of chump change. For splitting up $5,000 four ways.
I mean, Derek, what, he bought Caleb a truck, and I'm sure he did something for Cody.
I believe his dad bought Caleb a truck.
Oh, right, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, careful there. Let's go to our question from Ryan Hill. Is this the first time there's been a diary room from a house guest after they've been evicted?
Probably not.
Could be. Who knows? They've done a couple of these things before, though, where people are going from the talking about a thing that happened right before the eviction. So I'm not exactly sure. That'd be a good question to ask maybe Ian Terry or Jordan Parhar. We'll ask Steve when he gets out.
I'm sure they've done it in double evictions, especially.
Okay.
They've had that, yeah.
All right, let's take one from Music Fan. Says, has Vanessa broke her word about anything, or is she just very careful with her words?
She has definitely broken her word about probably a lot of things. So, yeah.
Yes, definitely. All right, one more question, then we'll do live feeds. Rachel wants to know, who has surprised you more this season? Becky or Jackie? Yeah, that's a new tandem, Becky.
You know, honestly, they're both pretty much what I expected. Becky, maybe a little bit better than I thought she would be. I'll give her that. Yeah. So, probably Becky.
Look, we sat here and we threw shade the whole first few weeks of the season. You know, that we saw Brittany Haynes called Jackie. Is she even on this show? Everybody made fun of Becky. Andy is tweeting the Becky update every episode and she's never on the show. But here they are. Becky and Jackie are both players here coming down the second half of the season.
That's how it goes.
Hey, that's Big Brother 17. Expect the unexpected. And that's certainly what we've gotten out of Becky and Jackie here in the second half. Okay, we are going to jump into talking about our live feeds now coming up here in just a second. Of course, tomorrow, Derek is going to be my guest. Talk to him about everything. Get your voicemails in at robiswebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. Eric Stein coming up on Wednesday. But first, let me take a quick moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are friends over at Mazda. Taryn, you ready to go for a drive?
Always ready to go for a drive.
Let's go for a drive, because, you know, driving matters to me, and if it matters to you, you could be driving yourself in the car with the windows down, listening to podcasts, with wind whipping through your hair. The smell of pine trees and fresh asphalt, it's like you're in the competition going back and forth. You don't have to worry about slipping at all because you have so much traction. And it's just these moments when it's you in the road, you say, wow, I'm handling every curve, feeling every nuance in the road. And you ask yourself, does driving matter to you? Of course it does, because Mazda builds cars just for you. Because to them, driving matters. Mazda, let's talk live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah, spoilers. Just like you can get on any Mazda model. Nice spoiler.
You know, you weren't keeping your eyes on the road there. I would be pretty scared driving.
Don't read and drive. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what is going on with Becky's HOH and talk to me about Vanessa.
So, Vanessa did manage to get Shelly to pick her for the veto competition, so she had a shot to save herself and really mess with Becky's plans, but she did not win the veto. Steve won the veto, and it was the zipline comic veto from last season.
Yes.
I believe he won by completing it in 13 minutes.
Congratulations to Steve.
Meg came second.
Oh,
believe it or not.
Good for Meg.
Yeah, right? So Steve has the veto. The plan has stayed the same. She's going to put up Vanessa. Vanessa does not know. She knew after Becky said no deals. She had a very good idea that she was going to go on the block. But after Steve won the veto, she had another conversation with Becky where Becky said, I give you my word. I'm not going to put you on the block. Don't worry about it. And Vanessa, of course, thinking, well, everybody sticks to their word now that she's given me her word. It's not going to happen.
Wait, just talk she's to still- me through this on the Steve angle. We know that Steve's tightest ally is Vanessa. Steve is not on the... Steve is on the block. He's going to take himself off and then put Vanessa up. Does he know that Vanessa is going to be the replacement nominee?
He has a very good idea. He's pretty sure.
Okay. Have they brought him in the fold on this plan?
Not entirely. He's talked to Johnny Mac. Johnny Mac's told him a lot more than Becky has, but still not everything. So he knows that it's not a good situation. He doesn't like the situation at all. He's very upset about it. What can he do? He's got to take himself off.
Yeah, we saw again that Steve really hates Becky. Any insight into that? Why does Steve have such a problem with Becky?
I think... You know, I saw on Twitter Jason saying that he was the reason Steve knew that Becky was coming for him. So maybe that had something. I don't recall such a conversation a few weeks ago, but I know that he knows that Becky had been talking behind his back about him. He had that conversation when he walked out on Jason and Becky talking. They were saying like, oh, the cameras give us more privacy than he does. And they were both laughing. And then also the fact that Johnny Mac's close to her probably doesn't, that probably doesn't sit well with him.
Okay.
He wants Johnny Mac.
All right. So is the plan just to blindside Vanessa at the veto meeting?
Yep.
And now nobody is going to tell Vanessa, not even Steve?
No. Steve... You know, I think Steve realizes that there's not a lot he could do. You know, he probably could have done something at the very beginning when he was having that conversation with Johnny Mac about like, oh, when we're in jury, you got to go for it. He put up pretty much zero resistance to Vanessa going on the block. And there might have been some things he could have said to, you know, kind of steer Johnny Mac away. But he's probably too afraid to, I guess. Because he doesn't want to look like he's with her. And so I think basically Steve's strategy is I'm just going to go with the flow and whatever happens, happens.
So for Vanessa, does she have a shot to get off the hook this week?
I do think she does.
What does that look
like? So basically, she has a lot of information about Becky. She knows that Becky was in on Jason being backdoored a lot earlier than she claimed to be. She knows that Becky tried to form an alliance with her and Clay and Shelly called the Generals. She knows that...
Generals?
That was Becky's idea. she knows that Becky was playing both sides last week. And she also knows that Becky and Shelly have this loyalty. So basically her pitch to Meg, James, and Jackie, who are the swing votes this week, should be, listen, I know that, you know, Becky said a lot about me or whatever, but you have to realize that Becky has been working with Shelly this whole time. She knew about the about Jason going up on the block. She was the one, James, that said that you should be the one to be put on the block before realizing that you were safe that week, because she said that to him before and he's always wondered who it was. Why would you send out me over Shelly when you know that Shelly is gunning for you and is only loyal to Becky, and I'm going to be gunning for Becky and Johnny Mac, not you guys. So why would you vote out me over her? Why would you do Becky's dirty work? Now, the problem with that is that Becky has kind of seen it coming, and she's preemptively confessed to some of those things. She confessed that she knew about Jason, and that she may have tried to make an alliance with them, and she felt duped by them. So it's gonna be tricky.
Yeah, it feels like that's the kind of thing that would work on Vanessa, and not necessarily yeah. the kind of thing that would work on the people like James and Jackie, who are sort of like, yeah, whatever, we're just going to go after the person. We're big game hunting. We're going after the person we want to get rid of, as opposed to where Vanessa or an Audrey would be like, wait, hold on. She said what? She did what? And I didn't know about it this whole time. This changes everything.
Well, I think basically the idea is that you want to get them to see what Becky's actually doing, which is the truth, which is that she's getting Meg, James, and Jackie on her side, and then she's also getting Johnny Mac and Steve and Shelly on her side, and that she's going to be in the middle and she's going to play everyone against each other, which, I mean, it's what she should be doing. It's what she's in position to do. So all she needs to do is get them to see that, and then they'll probably think, well, because they've already expressed, like, we don't really care which one goes home, and we kind of want Shelly to go home because we know she's after us. So it shouldn't be too hard of a sell. The problem is that Vanessa's not the most persuasive person in the world, and Becky has done a lot of like preemptive work to prevent it from happening.
How far ahead are the house guests thinking in terms of the double eviction?
Which it depends on which house guests.
Well,
there's a lot of different targets.
Okay. So who are the names that are coming up? And also just going back to that, the last point that you made, where do Austin and the twins fit in with those two sides of the house that you outlined of the After Dark crew versus some new formation of Johnny Mac and Steve and potentially Shelly?
Austin, the twins are the only people apart from Vanessa that don't know that Vanessa's going up yet. Becky still hasn't told them. They're not going to be happy about it. So where they stand ultimately, where they stand is kind of up for grabs right now. It depends on how they handle the information. They might decide, well, wow, we really can't trust Becky and Johnny Mac. We need to go after them next week. Or they might decide, why are Meg, James, and Jackie selling us out here? Why are they letting Vanessa go up on the block? Maybe we need to go after them next week. Or maybe they say, okay, well, we'll cut ties with Vanessa. We're with you guys now, we promise. It could go either way. It depends on how Becky handles the situation, how James, Meg, and Jackie handle the situation. So
really interesting. They're sort of like the kingmakers in all this, because they could tip the numbers to either side of the house.
Absolutely. Whoever has the twins and Austin has the game. The and that's why Vanessa's had the game so far.
All right, so talk to me. Okay, so let's just go bounce around by pockets. After Dark crew, if one of them gets the HOH and the double eviction, the person going home will be
Shelly.
If Shelly, Johnny Mac, Steve, if somebody over there ends up getting the HOH during the double eviction, who are they going to target?
I believe Shelly would target James and Jackie. Johnny Mac will target the twins in Austin, particularly Austin, who want to backdoor him. And Steve, target Becky, maybe?
Well, you're saying that Becky is with Johnny Mac through there. Is Steve and or Becky prepared to play ball with the other?
I think Steve is willing to play ball with Becky if he has to, but he doesn't want to, I don't think. Okay. I think if he has the opportunity, he will bounce on her in a second.
If Austin or the twins gets HOH in the double eviction, who would they go after?
It's the great mystery. We won't know until they find out about the Vanessa plan and see how that falls.
Austin will backdoor Julia. Finally, I can be with Liz. So that's going to be very interesting. It's a fun week to have the double eviction.
Oh, yeah. It could go anyway.
Really exciting. Okay. Anything else before we jump back into some questions?
I think we're good for now.
Okay. All right. Let's take some more questions here from you guys. Let's take from Anna Jose, who says, was there an inciting incident for the Becky and Steve rivalry? Who will get the best of the other in the end? Is it so much a rivalry from Becky's perspective?
I don't think so.
Yeah. She doesn't know why Steve hates her.
I don't think she knows that Steve hates her.
Yeah. I don't think so. Well, she did put him up on the block this week.
Yeah.
So, but there's no major incident that started this, right?
I don't think so. I think it just, you know, maybe Steve expected more from Becky. And when he found out that Becky didn't like him, he made fun of him.
I expected more from you, Becky.
And it, you know, she did just put him on the block. I'm sure that solidified things a lot. So,
okay. Let's take another question from Sam. I am. As much as I love Johnny Mack, he's starting to play the game after 7 weeks. What do you think about his wake-up call? Do you see this as a wake-up call for Johnny Mack?
Hopefully. I hope that this isn't just like a one-time thing because Vanessa woke him up, and now that Vanessa's and if Vanessa leaves, he's gonna go back to sleep.
Hey, what's that playing. Wake up call? I'm gonna hit the snooze and go back to sleep for a little while here.
I do think that Johnny Mac could probably do okay if he started playing now. If Vanessa leaves, he'll have Steve, and you know, there's a chance he could pull in, but he's not going to try to, unfortunately. He's going to go after Austin and the twins. There's not a lot he can do because he hasn't made a whole lot of connections, but I think there are a lot of targets in front of him. So maybe he should just go back to sleep. He'll find himself in the final
Would this
five.
Be a good spot for him to win the HOH during the double eviction? Because it's sort of like a HOH where it's your HOH in like the blink of an eye, and then you're over, and then somebody else is the new HOH. And it's not one where you really end up getting a lot of blood on your hands.
You know, his current plan is to go after to put up the twins and backdoor Austin. And I don't really like that plan for him because then he has two people coming after him. And he's still at the bottom of the Meg, James, Jackie, Becky alliance. So I don't really want to see him win there for his game because I don't think he'll make the right decision.
Yeah, I'll probably just hit the snooze button and go back to sleep then. Sorry.
What he needs to do is start making more social connections because he's perfectly capable of doing it.
What do you think of Johnny Mac's beard right now?
I'm not a fan of the chin strap.
No! Yeah. Sorry, Johnny Mac. Sorry. Sorry, go ahead and finish what you're saying.
Basically, what Johnny Mac needs to do is present himself as an asset to one of those groups, like Steve is doing. Where Steve has talked a lot with James and he's talked a little bit with Jackie, and James and Jackie and Meg, they're kind of starting to see Steve as somebody that maybe they can pull in and use as a vote or something. So Johnny Mac needs to be that person for all of the groups if possible. He needs to play that Steve role because he's going to be much better at it than Steve because he can get along with those people a lot better.
Yeah, the Johnny Mac scraggly beard is looking a little bit like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. It's got a little bit of the, Zoink Scoob, you know.
It's so perfect.
Let's go just get a sandwich or something right now.
Scooby Snacks.
Let's get some Scooby Snacks. Nicole Davis says, I've heard some chatter on the feeds. Vanessa talked about cheating in the HOH competition, having to sit out a few rounds. Is there any truth to that?
She talked about trying to pick up some of the, what was it? Whatever
motor
it was.
Oil.
The slippy, slippy stuff. And trying to put that into her cup. And they called her out on it. I'm not sure if they sat her out for a couple of rounds.
So the lubricant, she was picking that up and putting it into her bowl?
Yeah, I think she tried doing that. And she wasn't going to win anyway. So.
Okay. Let's take a question from Stacked NFL. Is James America's player, or was production just tired at 3 a.m. and playing along with the joke? Darren, tell us about what's going on here with this.
Basically, there was a diary room leak. James went into the diary room and said, oh, an America's Player envelope or like, oh, America's Player or something like that. And they responded with like, yeah, congratulations. So there was some speculation that there might be an America's Player in play this week. And that maybe the videos, like the who do you want to see in the end with the votes or something. But I mean, they definitely would have said something about it by now if it was true. So
do you think that when Julie Chen asked this week of tell us about which player you want to send us your thing, they were counting the votes on those things?
That was one of the theories for how it could possibly tie in for America's Player, but I really don't think it's happening.
Okay. And then from Marie says, with Beck's move potentially making her a target of Aust Twins, can James skate by for a few more weeks, barring a Shelly HOH?
He should be able to, but again, you know, if Becky gets her way, she's probably going to have Austin being after James, Megan, Jackie instead of her. But I think he's probably more likely to be after her over them. So it's probably true. I think James will be in an okay spot, barring a Shelly win.
Okay, let's do two more questions. This is from Eric. Do you think that Vanessa will try to manipulate Steve into not using the POV? She's got to know, right?
Yeah, she doesn't know right now. And you know, I wouldn't put it past her if she knew she was going up for a fact.
But how could she manipulate him to not use the veto?
It wouldn't happen. So.
Yeah, Steve, I think you're good this week. Just hang in there.
I have
the
votes,
like Shades of Clay and Johnny Mac.
No.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he talked about potentially throwing the competition, the veto competition, because he didn't want to win veto. He wanted to try and do the best he could to protect both of his allies. But Johnny Mac was making it clear to him, you got to choose me or Vanessa.
Okay.
Yeah, well.
And last question from 604 Macho Man. Oh, proper. Do you guys have any predictions on the double eviction HOH and POV competitions on Thursday based on past season competitions? Do you have a competition that is typically what they are going to use in the first part of this double eviction for the HOH?
Some kind of questions, you know, A or B, true or false, probably.
Okay.
And then, you know, probably the running back and forth veto with the clown shoes.
Yeah, they've done that before. I remember the Ian Terry table maze is something they've done. So something somewhat physical in a veto and questions in the HOH.
Yep.
That sounds about right. Okay. All right, Tara, any parting thoughts about Big Brother heading into the week and the nomination ceremony for the power veto?
You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Becky, but I really want to see what she can do. I want to see if she can really take over Vanessa's spot and start to play all sides. It would be interesting to see, and I think we're going to be in for some interesting couple of weeks in the near future.
Taryn, halfway point, who's in the best position to win Big Brother?
All right, so basically, I think whoever's...
Because I believe Vanessa was your pick coming into the season.
She was. And Meg is actually my the other person I have in our draft for the correspondence. I think whoever's best placed in their particular group is going to win based on how many competitions their group wins. So I think Meg is probably best placed in her group. I think Johnny Mac in his group. And probably Julia in her group, and then Steve. You never know. I don't see him. I don't see him getting too many jury votes. But
give me one name.
Oh man, it's really up in the air. I honestly can see Meg winning this. I honestly can. I think it might go up.
Meg. The thing for me about Meg, it's just hard to envision Meg winning a competition down the stretch. I know that you don't have to win a competition, but I feel like that's the formula, I feel like, for a Big Brother winner, is that you got to win a key competition coming down the stretch those last couple of weeks.
I would have said the exact same thing about Sarah on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. But that was a wacky season of...
It was, to be fair.
It was a season with a million twists. This season of Big Brother was advertised as a season with a million twists. It's been a season of few twists. We are going to have somebody come back from the jury house. That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about before we sign off. Has there been any talk about people coming back from jury, and has that affected anybody's gameplay decisions?
Becky has been trying to use it to her advantage, as anyone should, saying if in the future two of us are on the block, meaning two of her, Meg, James, or Jackie, we can't out each other because who knows, even if you leave, you might be coming back and then you'll be without any allies. So you need to be quiet and just go home and then hope you get back.
Easier said than done, Jackie. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I think somebody coming back, it's something that it's kind of like the Battle of the Block, where it kind of encourages you to play a little more carefully and not quite as boldly until the person actually gets back, because there's such an unknown variable coming in the future that you don't want to take too many risks.
All right. Great stuff, Taryn. Fantastic work. Follow Taryn on Twitter. He is at Armstrong Taryn. We need a hashtag for this episode of the podcast. Anything jump to mind? If not, I'm going to let the chat room call it, and I'll tell you what else is coming up this week.
The chat usually has pretty good ones. And you know what? I forgot about Shelly. I think that Shelly has a very good chance to win, actually.
Yeah, she could be the person that they forget about.
I forgot about her.
So. She could be the person that they forget about. The hell hath no fury like a woman scornful, right, James?
Yeah.
So we are going to jump into the voicemails tomorrow with Derek. Don't forget to send those in. robatthewebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. We'll answer your voicemails with Derek. We will also be live on Wednesday night to talk about the week in Big Brother with Eric Stein. I'm very excited for that. That's one of my favorite podcasts of the season when Eric Stein joins us. And then, of course, we'll be live after the double eviction this Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll also be jumping back into the off-season Survivor podcast with Jason Somerville, another poker player extraordinaire. I recorded that interview with him over the weekend, asked him a little bit about Vanessa Rousseau, somebody that he is acquainted with but doesn't know personally. He's seen a little bit of her this season, so that's all going to be part of my interview with Jason Somerville from the weekend. We're talking about 13 Survivor off-season questions that he's applied statistical analysis to, and we will bring you that probably coming up Tuesday night or Wednesday morning on the podcast. And of course, we're also covering Last Comic Standing right now, 3 episodes in. You can check that out also on robiswebsite.com. All right. We've got some hashtag choices. Scooby Snacks.
I like Scooby
Backy.
Snacks.
Steve Loner. I guess that's sort of like a home aloner for Steve. What do you think? Scooby Snacks?
I like Scooby Snacks.
Okay, there you go. That's our hashtag. Zoinks. All right, so there we go for that episode. And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Taryn, anything else? You got the last word.
The guests you have coming up, nobody should be missing any of your podcasts this week.
Okay.
All-star guests right now.
All right. And then also, I think next Sunday night, Shelly is going to be joining us. So we've got a lot of guests coming up in the hopper for Big Brother 17. Lots of fun to come on Robinson Podcast. Thanks for watching, as always, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.